On Thursday this year. That's not the common practice. Shulchan Aruch says that when Pesach falls out on Sunday and Monday, Tainus Bechor should have been on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, so Shabbos Pesach. So you're Magdim the Tainus Bechor, so instead of being Magdim to Friday, you should be Magdim to Thursday. But when Pesach falls out on Shabbos and Sunday, and Erev Pesach is Friday, so that's Tainus Bechor is Bizmanoi. So whenever you have a Tonus that's Bizmanoi on Friday, you do fast. We do fast. We make a Siyam anyway, but whoever does make a Siyam. So Tainus Bechor this year is supposed to be on Friday, not on Thursday. On the OU website, they wrote it correctly, just on the little calendar. They made a mistake. The Gemara says in the beginning of Psochim that whoever leaves his home within 30 days before Pesach has to perform B'dikas Chametz. All of those who are leaving the dormitory since Purim is within 30 days before Pesach are obligated to do B'dikas Chametz. In the Iri, in the beginning of Psochim, quotes a machlokes harishonim and Gemara whether a bracha is recited only when you do a B'dika bizmana or even if you do a B'dika earlier. And the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that a bracha is not recited. You only say a bracha when you do the B'dika bizmana. If it's like this year, if you do the B'dika on Thursday night, but if you do B'dika earlier than Thursday night, one does not recite the bracha. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that you have to burn the chametz, sarfim. The Mishnah says sarfim b'tchila sheish. You burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. So the case of Mishnah is not sure whether that's to be taken literally in the sixth hour, or it means before you enter the sixth hour, because in our Torah, you're not allowed to keep chametz in your possession after Chatzos, and with the Rabbanan we treat the sixth hour, the hour before Chatzos, as if it's with the Rabbanan as if it's after Chatzos. So maybe, even though the Mishnah says you burn the chametz b'tchila sheish, the case Mishnah says maybe it's not to be taken literally, maybe it really means you burn the chametz before the beginning of the sixth hour. So that's what we usually do. The Mordechai quotes an opinion that Davke, you have to wait till Chila Sheish. He quotes from one of the Bali HaTosfos, if you burn all the chametz before you're not yotze the mitzvah, you have to save a kazais of chametz and burn it after Chatzos Mamish. That we don't do. We don't even do after the beginning of Shor Shishis. So we burn it before. So the Rambam says that if you want to burn the chametz in the morning, if you daven at the 6:30 minyan, and you want to burn your chametz at 7:30, so the Rambam says that's fine. I think that was fine in the days of the Rambam when they didn't have the whole community sign up by the rabbi to sell the chametz for them. Bizman Azeh, the common practice is that everybody relies on mechiras chametz. So that's a question. If I have a ton of chametz, If I sell all the chametz, I'm not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tashbisu means either machlekes hatanoim, one tana or abudas of the opinion, ain't beer chametz, ele b'sreifa, you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah if you burn the chametz. And the chachamim say, hash b'sasa b'chol dov, you can destroy the chametz in any form or fashion. Taisus has two opinions how we paskin, so that's why the common practice is that we're careful to try to burn the chametz. Ikra din, most of the Rishonim hold that you don't necessarily have to have Davkis Reifa. The din is like the Chacham that you don't need Davkis Reifa. But let's say if I have a ton of chametz and I neither burn it nor destroy it, I sell it to a non-Jew. So selling it to a non-Jew is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So if I have a ton of chametz and I sell 99% of it and I leave over a little kazais and I burn that in the end, so then I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. I have destroyed the last bit of chametz that I have in my possession. But if I'll do the reverse, the rabbi is not going to sell the chametz until 11:30, because some people are still eating chametz in the morning. So if I'm going to burn my chametz at 7:30 in the morning, I have a ton of chametz, I burn a kazayis, burn a bag full of chametz at 7:30, and then the 99% of the chametz I still have in my possession, I didn't destroy it, then I'm going to rely on the rabbi to sell that chametz. That's very questionable whether you're really in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. When we start to do the B'dikas chametz, so we recite a bracha. When we do the B'dik on Thursday night, we say a bracha, Shekedashana b'mitzvah, Sevetzivanu, al bir chametz. What does it mean, al bir chametz? The B'dika is going to lead up to the bir tomorrow morning. So if I plan to burn it at 7:30 and then 99% of the chametz that I possess, I'm not burning. The rabbi is going to sell it for me. So did I really fulfill the mitzvah of Bir Chametz by burning the 1% before the 99%? So that's questionable. So I rely on Mechiras Chametz. I usually save my Chametz till the last minute, till about 11:15, when the rabbi for sure sold the Chametz. So then I'll destroy my Chametz. We don't sell our Chametz to the rabbi. We appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell the Chametz on our behalf. It's a good idea to appoint a rabbi who knows Choshen Mishpat to sell the Chametz. Some Balabatim think they know how to sell the Chametz on their own. You have to be very knowledgeable over the generations. The Mechiras Chametz was worked out in such a way that we do six kinyonim. So a Talmud Chacham, a rabbi who's a Talmud Chacham, knows how to make six kinyonim. Balabatim don't always know how to make Mechiras Chametz, so it would be a very good idea to rely on your rabbi for the purpose of the Mechiras Chametz. We appoint the rabbi as a shlich to sell the Chametz on our behalf. So a lot of people appoint the rabbi Purim time. Zizim Akdimel HaMitzvahs, they appoint the rabbi weeks before Pesach to sell the Chametz on that behalf, on their behalf. So this is questionable because in the course of the extra time, as it comes closer to Pesach, somebody may buy a new box of Wheaties. And when he appointed the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chametz, he can't appoint him as a shliach on a davar shelo bali yoylam. The balabas can't sell a chametz that he himself didn't buy yet. So he can't appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chametz that he didn't buy yet. So this is a problem that the gedolim in Europe raised. The Sechemen is an encyclopedia that was written in the early 1900s. He quotes this issue from the gedolim in the 1800s. That people would appoint the rabbi as the shlich, then they would buy chametz later on. So more correct is, you should wait till after you buy all of your chametz that you plan to buy, and then appoint the rabbi as the shlich. B'dieved, if you appoint the rabbi as the shlich, and then you buy more chametz, so you should call the rabbi up, tell him again, I want to appoint you as a shlich on the new chametz that I bought. B'dieved, if you didn't do that, so every rabbi who's selling chametz, should, that's how the post can point that. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has this, and others have this. Every rabbi should say to the Nochri, to whom he's selling the Chametz, not only am I selling the Chametz on behalf of those people who authorized me to, I'm selling the Chametz on behalf of those people who forgot to authorize me, based on the principle of Zochen Liodam Shlei Befonim. It's certainly the best interest of the Balabatim to have their Chametz sold. And even though the Tzoyis HaChoshen quotes from a Rashba in Nidorim that we only say Zochen Liodam, we don't say Zochen Meyodam, Zochen Liodam Shlei Befonav only applies if I want to give a gift to someone who's not here, so I give the gift to someone who is here and he's kind on behalf of the other person who's not here, that's Zochen Liodam. So the Tzoyis understood the Rashba as saying that you don't apply Zochen to take something away from a person, to sell something on behalf of somebody else. So that Tzoyis is basically not accepted. We assume that the Rashba never said it, and we assume that you can apply Zochen even to sell something on behalf of someone else who's not here. On Erev Pesach, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that it's not permissible to eat matzah. Erech matzah Erev Pesach is an Iser midrabbana. Some Rishonim wanted to make it into an Iser deraisa. For Erev tochel matzah is be'erev lo bayom, we assume that it's an Iser derabbana. What if you have matzah mel and someone made some knedlach out of it? Is it permissible to eat the knedlach on Erev Pesach? So the Mishnah Brura quotes a compromise from the Poskim. If they took matzah mel and they made cookies out of it, they did afiyah on it, even though you can't be yotze with the cookies, it dechayvas matzah because it's matzah shira that has a lot of flavoring in it. But since originally it started off as matzah, so that's considered a violation of eating matzah Erev Pesach. But if you take the matzah mel and you make knedlach out of it, which are cooked, he did a bishul on it as opposed to an afiyah, so the knedlach he may eat on Erev Pesach. Leil Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch has a machloikis, the Mechaber and the Ramah, whether it's proper to say halal in shul or not. The Mechaber quotes from the Maseches Sofrim that the proper practice is that in shul, before the Chazan says the Kaddish Tiskabel, after everybody finishes the Tefillah Balachash, the Tzibu should recite Halal with a bracha before and after. The Ramah writes, based on the minig of the Bali HaTosfos, that was only in the days of the Gaonim, Masechus Sofrim is written by the Gaonim, the days of the Gaonim, that there were a lot of Amei Haaretz who didn't know how to recite Hallel in the Seder. They didn't have a Haggadah, they didn't know how to read the Haggadah. So that's why they would recite Hallel and Shul, because they weren't able to say Hallel and the Haggadah. But Bezman Azeh, the days of the Bali Atosus, Kolona Chachamim, Kolona Nebanim, Kolona Zekenim, Kolona Yodim, Loimar Sahalel. So we don't have to have Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses. That's the Minig, common Minig Ashkenaz. Don Ligon usually followed Minig Ashkenaz, and here he disagrees with the Ramon. He thinks that we should follow the Minig of the Mechaber. A lot of shuls, this will cause a whole world war. So Rav Soloveitchik recommended to the Rabbanim, if it won't cause a world war, they should really introduce the Minig of the Vilna Gaon. Most shuls, it will cause a world war. If it won't cause a world war, he recommended the Rabbanim should try to introduce. If a person is going to say Hallel on his own, let's say everybody else is going home, he's going to say Hallel on his own. The pashtus is that this practice does not apply. The whole idea of reciting Hallel after Maariv with the bracha is only b'tzibur, not b'yochid. This year, the first night of Pesach is Shabbos, so when we start Kiddush, we start from Yom HaShish V'chulu HaShamayim. If a person forgot to recite V'chulu, and it says right away, Bor Pri HaGofen, what does he do? So you should not say V'chulu in between Bor Pri HaGofen and the Kiddush. V'chulu is only a minhag to be recited at the time of Kiddush. And if you say V'chulu in the middle, it's going to be an issue of a hefsek. If a person by mistake forgot to say V'chulu and he just says Bor Pri HaGofen, he should finish off the Kiddush and say V'chulu afterwards, after he drinks the wine. After he drinks the wine. Tosus has a comment on the opening Mishnah in Perek Arvik Sochim that even though every other Shabbos and Yom Tov one can daven early, one can daven Ma'ariv early after Plaga Mincha and then recite Kiddush and start the meal, and according to one opinion, even finish the meal, you can even bench before the sun sets. That's two opinions in Tosus on the opening Mishnah in Perek Arvik Sochim. But on Pesach night, Tosus interprets in the Mishnah that you can't eat the matzah until after Tzeis HaKochavim, because the pasuk says Ba'erev tochel matzahs. Same thing, you can't eat the Korban Pesach Ba'achol Sabasa Balayla Hazeh, you have to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim. Then in Meilen Shulchan Aruch it says you shouldn't recite Kiddush until after Tzeis HaKochavim. Different reasons they give. One reason is because ain't Kiddush Elam HaMakam Suda. So since you can't be yotzei, the Masuda has to be matzah. Since you can't be yotzei the matzah during the Zman of Tosefes, so you can't be yotzei the Kiddush either, because that's a violation of Ein Kiddush Elam Avak Masuda. Others say differently, because Kiddush is the first of the Arba Koisis, and drinking the cup of wine of the Arba Koisis has to be after Tzeis HaKochavim. And others say even differently, that the reciting of the Kiddush is the beginning of the Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the Kiddush, we mentioned that it's Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whatever the reason is, the three different reasons given by the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quotes all of this. The upshot is that in the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is you have to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim in order to recite the Kiddush. Other Rishonim disagree with the Tosfos. You look in the Tosfos Harosh and Brachas on Daf Chav Zayin, where the Gemara talks about davening Ma'ariv early on a regular Erev Shabbos and reciting Kiddush and starting the meal, possibly even finishing the meal. So the Tosfos HaRosh over there disagrees with Tosfos. He says you can eat the Korban Pesach also when the sun is still shining. You can finish eating everything. So but the common practice is that we follow the Shulchan Aruch. If a person has a choyla, a zokin, whatever, you have a big shasat chak, you have to ask a shayla, sometimes we would be mako to recite the Kiddush like on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov before Tzeis HaKochavim. How much of the wine do you have to drink? So the Tosfos opinion is that it's like Kiddush and Avdolah. It's not necessary to drink the whole cup. It's not even necessary for all the people around to drink the cup. Just like Kiddush, one person drinks the wine and everybody's yotzei. No, he doesn't have to drink the whole cup. All he has to drink is Maloy Lugmov, which by Adam Beinoni is equivalent to a Roiv Revius. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ran. So Tosfos's opinion is that the same is true on Pesach night. The Arba Kosis simply mean that we recite four brachas alakos. We recite Kiddush alakos, Asher Gyalonu alakos, Birchas Hamazon Alakos, and then what the Mishnah refers to as Birchas Hashir Alakos. The bracha at the end of the Hallel is referred to by the Mishnah as Birchas Hashir. The Tosfos' opinion is that it's like Kiddush and Avdalah. One person says each one of the four brachas, and he drinks a little bit Malay Lugmav, even if it's a gigantic cup of wine, he just drinks Malay Lugmav, and that's sufficient. We don't follow Tosfos, we follow the Rambam's opinion, who says that's half of the story, that we have to recite four brachas alakos, Kiddush alakos, Asher Gi'olonu alakos, Birchas Hamazon alakos, and Birchas Hashir alakos. But in addition to that, there's a mitzvah that each person should drink arba kosos four times to demonstrate that we are b'nei chayrim. So everybody has to drink. And it's not just a din of hamavarach tzor sheyitom that it should be considered a brach alakos. You have to drink the kos of wine. So that's why the Rambam takes the Gemara literally. The Gemara says you have to drink rov hakos. Tosfos says that it's not to be taken literally. It doesn't really mean rov hakos. It's lav davke. It really means to drink maloy lugmov. The Rambam seems to understand rov hakos. The Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Bach that l'chatchila more correct is to drink kol hakos, not to rely on ruba kukuloi. B'dieved, if a person drank rov hakos, that would be sufficient. In Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. What if you have a gigantic kos? So do you say that every revi'ah shabo is considered a kos? And if you drink a rov of a revi'ah, that is a rov hakos? Or do you say no? Revi'ah is a minimum. If you have a gigantic kos, so you have to drink a rov of that kos. That's usually, there's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. That's what's usually assumed. That the larger the kos, so the bigger the rov kos will have to be. You have to make sure that your kos has a revi'ah in it. Revi'ah is the volume of a beitzah or machzah, an egg and a half. We usually see large eggs. The small eggs are the beinoni, the medium-sized eggs, they make mayonnaise out of, so we never see them. But to visualize an egg that's slightly smaller than the eggs that we usually see, that'll be a beitzah beinonis. So the volume of a beitzah or machzah is a revi'ah. You have to use wine for arba kosos. Grape juice was a big machloikas in America for many years. Many were of the opinion that the grape juice is treated chemically in such a way that it can never ferment. And many gedolim held that the bracha is really shahakol and it can't be used for Kiddush and Avdalah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein paskin natzar. Moshe Feinstein paskin that grape juice is bar piagofen. So that's the standard accepted opinion. But you should realize that not everybody agrees to that. Now Moshe, the one who said that grape juice can be used for Kiddush and Avdolos, he said for arba kosos, he thought it's not acceptable because the whole idea of drinking arba kosos is to demonstrate that you're a ben chorin. So people, when a person gets out of prison or yotze in the beis hasur, he drinks l'chaim, he doesn't drink l'chaim over tomato juice, over orange juice, over apple cider. He drinks l'chaim over some alcoholic beverage. Moshe was of the opinion that grape juice is not good for arba kosos. Not everyone agrees, but if a person can drink wine, so have wine with a lower alcohol content. You have to have wine with 14% alcohol. You have wine with 2% alcohol. It's also good enough. On Kedem wine bottles, some of the bottles say mevushel, some of the bottles say ena mevushel. Some are makbid to satisfy the Rambam's opinion that Kiddush only, it's a special din only, a Kiddush, doesn't apply to Avdalah, doesn't apply to arba kosos. The Rambam's opinion is that yayin for Kiddush should be davke yayin she'ena mevushel, such wine that could be used on the mizbech for the purpose of nisuch hayayin, when you pour the wine down the pipes on the mizbech in conjunction with a korban. So the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam and the Goyim, there was such an opinion. We really don't paskin like that, but there are those who, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the two opinions, so those who are mahada for that, they try to satisfy this opinion. They want to use the Ayin Shein and Mevushal for Kiddush. Ramosha was of the opinion that all the wines, all the Kedem wines, whether it says Mevushal or non-Mevushal, his opinion was that if they're all pasteurized, so they're all Mevushal anyway. The rabbi who gives the hashgacha, the Talmid Chacham who gives the hashgacha and the Kedem wine is of the opinion that unless the wine was heated till 212 degrees, that's called Eina Mevushal. So his opinion is that pasteurization doesn't make it Mevushal. And Ramosha thought that that was not correct. Rav Moshe thought that all of the Kenan wines that are pasteurized are Mavushal. If a person wants to be Mahadir, to recite Kiddush over Yain Shein Mavushal, there are wines. There are French wines under Hashgach. There are Israeli wines under Hashgach that are Takeh Ein Mavushal, that are not pasteurized. But Rav Moshe thought that all the Kenan wines he considered were all Mavushal. When it comes to the matzah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh that when we say Hamotzi al achilas matzah, there are two opinions whether you need three matzahs to begin with and you break the middle matzah and you're left with two and a half, or you start off with two matzahs and then you break one matzah, you're left with one and a half. So most have the practice, two opinions in Tosfos. So most have the practice that we take three matzahs and you break the middle matzah, you're left with two and a half matzahs. Those who follow the Vilna Gaon, who follow those opinions, and the Rishonim, the Rif, and the Rambam, and many Balei HaTosfos, they start off with two matzahs and they're left with one and a half matzahs. So the Shulchan Aruch says you take three matzahs, you break one, you're left with two and a half, then you fulfill two different mitzvahs with two different kezesim. You have to say Hamoitzi on Lecha Mishnah on two shleimos, like on every Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then you say the Bracha al achilas matzah on the prusa, on the broken matzah. Then you have to eat a kezais from the shleima and a kezais from the prusa. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. You have to have two kezesim. When you say Hamoitzi al achilas matzah, you have to have two kezesim. When you eat koirach, so the Shulchan Aruch says you got to have one kezais of matzah and one kezais of mora. Then when you eat afikoyman at the end of the meal, so again, the Shulchan Aruch recommends we should follow the Maharil, who says that you should have two kezesim. Why two kezesim of the afikoyman? So it's a little unclear. So in the Maharil, the Sefer Maharil, we have Tshuva's Maharil that were written by the Maharil himself, and you have Drosha's Maharil. That's the Maharil that starts on this and here, and he tells you which piyutim you say, which slichas you say, and so on and so forth, when you fast, when you say this, when you do that. So the Sefer Maharil, Drosha's Maharil, was written by Talmud of the Maharil. So that's why every so often there's an error there, and the poskim correct it. But they say that the student who wrote it wasn't the most outstanding student of the Maharil. So he claims, he writes in the name of the Maharil, that we eat two kezesim of the afikoyman at the end of the meal, the Zechel of Pesach, which was eaten at the end of the meal, Nechal al Asova. And the minig, the practice always was, b'zman shabbos ha'migdash ha'yikayim, that ye eat two kezesim of the Korban Pesach. The poskim on the Shulchan Aruch say they never heard of this, it doesn't exist. Whoever heard of this, two kezesim, it must be a mistake. What the Maharil must have said was that you should eat two kezesim of the afikoyim and one zechel of Pesach, one zechel of Chagiga. Chazon Ish says, what do you mean? What do you mean never heard of it? The Rambam says like that you eat two kezesim of Korban Pesach. The Rambam understands that not Korban Pesach, Nechal al Hasova, at the end of the meal, that's one thing, you eat at the end of the meal, but you eat Korban Pesach, Kedei Lizboa Mimenu, you eat a Kedei Sviya from the Korban Pesach. L'chatchid, you shouldn't only eat a Kazais, you should eat two Kazaisim. That's Kedei Lizboa Mimenu. So the Chazon Ish thinks that the Maharil is written correctly, what the Talmud wrote is correct. So that's L'chatchid, we follow the Maharil. If a person finds it too difficult to eat so many kezesim of matzah, so the Mishnah Brura says he's unhappy why the Shulchan Aruch even quoted the Rosh, that you should have two kezesim by Hamoitzi matzah. He thinks that there's so many Rishonim who disagree and think that one kezes is sufficient. Shulchan Aruch should have left it like that. Then by the Afikoyman also, if a person feels too difficult to eat two kezesim, must be if a person eats one kezes. If a person finds that too difficult to eat, used to be a rabbi here in the neighborhood, Rabbi Schwab. So the last years of his life, he had a medical condition, and he wasn't allowed to eat bread, cake, or cookies all year long, which he didn't eat. So he told me that on Pesach night is the only time he ate the hamoitzi. So on the first night of Pesach, the matzah is deraisa, so he ate a kezayis deraisa. The Shulchan Aruch has two opinions, how big is the kezayis? Whether the kezayis is chatzi beitza, the volume of a half an egg, medium-sized egg, beitza beninus, or kezais is the volume of a shlish beitza. So the Magen Avraham makes a compromise, says, with respect to dinim deraisa, should be machmen to have a chatzi beitza. With respect to dinim rabban, and you can be mekel to rely on a shlish beitza. Rabbi Schwab told me that on the first night of Pesach, that matzah is deraisa, so he would eat a chatzi beitza. said in Shulchan Aruch that if you're only going to eat one kazayis matzah, you save it till the end of the meal. You eat the whole meal, you say shakal on the chicken, and you say adama on the potatoes and everything, and then you wash at the end of the meal and then say moitzi matzah, and you eat the one kazayis that you're going to eat, because you're not supposed to eat after the afikomen. So the one kazayis you're going to eat is going to be the afikomen. So on the first night of Pesach, he ate a chatzi beitzah. On the second night of Pesach, it was only the Rabbanon, he ate a shlish beitzah. So if a person, taka, has such a difficulty that he just can't eat the matzah, so he can do that. Somebody asked me, a dentist called me up just the other day. He said he has a lot of patients who have difficulty eating matzah, and for them, somehow, it's easier if they eat whole wheat matzah. Is there any problem with whole wheat matzah? There's no problem. And the Mishnah says if you eat whole wheat matzah, it's not a problem. The only thing is, all matzahs should be done under strict supervision of a reliable kashrus organization, reliable rabbanim. Whole wheat in general, the Mishnah says, whole wheat means that they ground up the grain with the shells. So the Mishnah says in Challah, if you separated the shells, then you threw them back in, then it's not mitzarif to the kazayis. If you ground it up the way it is, without separating the shell, so then everything is mitzarif to the shear. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out when we were learning this Mishnah that when they sell whole wheat bread, they write on the package what percentage of it is the shell, and it doesn't correspond to the percentage that it's supposed to be. So he said, obviously they're removing all of the shells and they're throwing some of them back in. They're not throwing all of them back in. So he said, if they remove the shells, they throw it back in, then they didn't say it's not mitzarif to the shear. So if you buy whole wheat matzah that's under a good hashgachas, I'm sure the rabbi will take care of that also. Make sure that they made the whole wheat matzah properly. The Sfardim eat a matzah that's spongier than that of the Ashkenazim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes explicitly that we don't have an insistence, we don't have a minig bedavka to eat the crunchy, crackly matzahs. You can eat the spongy matzahs also. The Ramah just says that we have a minig, and that's based on a Gemara, we have a minig to make sure that the matzah is very, very thin. Less thinner than a ke'etzba. So all of the matzahs are thinner than a ke'etzba. The Sfardish matzahs, the Ashkenazish matzahs, they're all much thinner than an etzba. The only thing is, it has to be made under reliable hashgacha. If you just have some fly-by-night crackpot who's making his own Sfardi matzahs, he's an Ashkenazi who converted to become a Sfardi because he likes the matzahs and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to be feeding you chametz. So you got to make sure you have a good hashgacha, that's all. The Gemara sounds like it says that matzah nitshalachem. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. When you eat the matzah, you're only out to the mitzvah. If the matzah belongs to you, just like the dalet minim have to have shalachem on the first day of Sukkot, first 2 days of Sukkot, so the matzah on Leil HaSeder has to be shalachem. The Rambam does not understand the Gemara like that, but the Rosh understands like that. So the Taz, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, raised the question, how is it shalachem? If you have a Seder and you have a lot of guests over, so all the matzahs belong to the balabas, how is it called shalachem of the guests? So the Taz says it's self-understood. When you give food to the guests, that you makna the food to the guests. In Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, this is a machlokes. Do we assume that when you invite guests to your home, you makna the food to the guests? Or no, it's my food and I give you permission. Am I makna the chair that you're sitting on? Am I makna the plates? I'm not makna the plates in the silverware. You woke up the silverware, you're gonna. I give you permission to use the plates. I give you permission to use the chair, to use the forks and knives. I give you permission to eat my matzah. It's not that I'm giving you the matzah. Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, Ilchus Kiddushin, they have such a funny case. If I have guests over to my home and I serve the meal, and one of the single boys likes one of the single girls, and he takes his plate with cholent, with kugel and chicken, he gives it to the girl, he says, Aret Mekudeshesli, is it a good Kiddushin or not? Is it assumed that I gave the food to the guest and it's his and he can use it to be Mekadosh and Isha? No, I gave him permission to eat my food, it's not his food. So you can't be Mekadosh and Isha with someone else's food. But that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer. Is it assumed that you give it as a gift? So there are those who are machmir. The Taz raised the issue that the Rosh understood the Gemara literally, that you really need shalachem. And the solution that the Taz gave, that it's always assumed that the balabais is machna the food to the guests, is not everybody agrees to that comment of the Taz. You look at Ebenezer, it's a machlokes. So there's some who will announce right before everybody washes until it's a dime, All the guests should have in mind to be kind of the matzah that they want to use in order to be out to the mitzvah of achilas matzah. You have to eat the matzah behaseba. The Gemara says if you eat the matzah shaloi behaseba, you're not yotzei. Many people have the practice that they lean like this. They lean in the air. But they lean on their own, on their leg. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to go through this every year. He used to demonstrate that you have to lean on something. If you lean like this, you're leaning on the chair. But it's just leaning in midair, so that's not acceptable. The Gemara talks about leaning on someone else's side, not leaning on your own side. The Gemara says if everybody's sitting next to everybody else and I'm leaning on someone else's shoulders, so the Gemara says that would also be acceptable. You have to be careful that the kezayis matzah you should eat the haseba. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes those who say based on the Ramam that l'chatchila really haseba is a separate mitzvah. You should have haseba for the whole meal, not just for the kezayis matzah. As man as that, most people don't follow that Ramah. I think they quote that the Chazanish and the Stipler said we don't follow that that Ramah. As far as Marer is concerned, the Mishnah lists off five different vegetables, and the Rishalmi quoted in the Shulchan Aruch says that these are listed in descending order of importance. The best vegetable to be used is the first one. The first one is chazeres, and chazeres, all the Rishonim say, is lettuce. The only question is it only romaine lettuce? In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have regular lettuce. They didn't have iceberg lettuce in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't exist in Eretz Yisrael. They only had romaine lettuce. So the Tanoim are clearly chazeres is lettuce, all of the Rishonim say that. The question is it only romaine lettuce or does it apply to all kinds of lettuce? So they quote the Rabbaran Kotler was of the opinion that regular lettuce is also acceptable. Regular lettuce has less of a problem of bugs than the romaine lettuce, usually. And others say no, that you have to use dafka romaine lettuce. How is romaine lettuce considered one of the minim of morer? It doesn't taste bitter at all. So the Rishalmi raises that question. The Rishalmi says that if you would leave the lettuce in the ground longer, it would turn bitter. And in fact, the Rishalmi says that that's why it's a hidur, dafke, to use the lettuce that listed in the Mishnah in descending order of importance. The first one is the lettuce. L'chad chidish, you use the lettuce. Why? Why is it a hidur to use that? Because that's how the shibud went. In Mitzrayim, first everything was sweet and pleasant, like the lettuce starts off tasting normal, and then it became very bitter in the end. So the romaine lettuce is taka zecher to the way the shibud went. The Chazanish was of the opinion that what the Yerushalmi meant to say was that if and when you leave the lettuce in the ground longer and it turns bitter, and then you eat it when it's bitter, then you yotze. But if you cut off the lettuce when it's still sweet tasting, normal, then you're not yotze. The Minigolim is not like the Chazanish. We assume that what Yerushalmi meant to say was that since if you were to leave it in the ground longer, it would turn bitter. So even if you cut it out earlier, it's still considered the correct meaning of marer and yoytze, even if it doesn't taste bitter. That's what we usually assume. Many had the practice for many centuries to use horseradish. So there was a student in yeshiva 45 years ago who published an essay. And he quoted from the sources that the Jews only started using horseradish when they moved so far north that the romaine lettuce was simply not available. The endives were not available. The other minim were not available. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you don't have one of the five vegetables mentioned in the Mishnah, you should take some other vegetable that tastes bitter. So the horseradish was used as a substitute because real marah wasn't available. So this student now became a professor of botany at Ben Gurion University, and the essay that he printed in the YU publication years ago, he used to have a publication called Gesher, the bridge between the world of science and the world of halacha. Once every 10 years, I think he still put out a Gesher. So his essay has since been translated into Hebrew, and more people in Bnei Brak are reading the essay and are stopping to use horseradish because it's very questionable whether you yotze with horseradish. If one should be concerned about this possibility that you're not yotze with horseradish, then many have pointed out, if you mix a little bit of horseradish with your main lettuce, then it's like mixing potatoes with the horseradish. The Gemara says if you eat morer together with something that's not part of the mitzvah, then osi dvar hashus mevatel dvar mitzvah, that it ruins the mitzvah. So if you have romaine lettuce, you should eat the romaine lettuce. If you want to eat some horseradish for for old time's sake. So eat the horseradish afterwards, rather than eat the two together. Many Haggadahs have Hasidish text printed in. It says, after you say the bracha Hashir Yolan and Golas Haleseinu, so then it says, V'shem Yichu Kil Shabrich, Hine Mucham Zom Elokai Mitzvus Kosheni Shalab HaKaisis, and then you say Bar Piagof. So that's not really proper to say Hine Mucham Zom Elokai after the bracha Hashir Yolan and the Bar Piagofen. If you want to say Hine Mucham Zom Elokai, say it before you say the bracha Hashir Yolan. It's not right to say in the middle, whenever you have a bracha Halakos, so you say the Bar Piagofen with the bracha Halakos together. But that being mafsim, so that's not really right. The same thing by the Birchas Hamazon, they have Hinnin Muchan Mezum, and after you finish Birchas Hamazon, Hinnin Muchan Mezum, and then you say the Bar Piago. You want to say Hinnin Muchan Mezum, so say before you start the old Birchas Hamazon, Hinnin Muchan Mezum, to fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon, and to fulfill the mitzvah of the Kol Shlishi of the Abba Kosis. And the same thing by the fourth course. It's not proper to insert Hinnin Muchan Mezum, but this in the middle of the fourth course is called the Birchas Hashir. We recite Birchas Hashir al HaKos. Many of the Haggadahs are Hasidish Haggadahs, and the Hasidim adopted Nusach Ari. They adopted Nusach Sfarj. Ashkenazim say Adab Nusach Ashkenaz. They say the Haggadah Nusach Ashkenaz. And the Sfardim and the Hasidim say Nusach Sfarj. Basically, the whole Haggadah is the same. The main difference is the fourth cup of wine. What bracha does one recite at the conclusion of the Hallel? We say a little bit of the halal before the meal and the bulk of the halal after the meal. And then the Mishnah says at the conclusion of the halal we recite Birchas Hashir. So what is the Birchas Hashir? The one opinion in the Gemara is that it's Yehalalucha, like we always say Yehalalucha at the end of the halal. The other opinion is that it should be Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach, which is the concluding bracha after Pesukei Dezimra and Shabbos and Yontem. That's one long bracha, starting from Nishmas Kol Chai to the end of Yishtabach. Is one long bracha. That's what the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Vilna Goyen, that everybody knows that if you come to shul late, you can abridge Pesukei Dezimra. So he said, Baruch Shama Ashvei Yishtabach. Too many people know that secret, so they come to shul late. So on Shabbos and Yontif, the Vilna Goyen is quoted by the Chayyadim. Chayyadim was a mechutna of the Vilna Goyen. So he quotes his mechutna. The Vilna Goyen said, on Shabbos and Yontif, if you have to abridge, so you have to say Baruch Shama Ashrei Nishmas through Yishtabach, because Nishmas is the beginning of the bracha of Yishtabach, as it says in the Mishnah, as it says in the Gemara, in the end of the last Perek in Psochim. So the Gemara has two opinions. What does it refer to? And the Mishnah says that we recite Birchas Hashir after the completion of the Hallel over the fourth cup of wine. So does that refer to Yehalalucha, or does that refer to Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that both good ideas, we should say both. So how exactly do we say both? So you'll have some old Haggadahs that you got in the mail from some Shaarei Tzedek hospital, which are really going to have, they reprinted all Haggadahs that really have the both brachas. At the end of the Hallel have Yehalalucha, Melech Muhulol Batish Bachot. Then they have Hodol Hashem Ki Tov Ki Liyom Chazda, the 26 Psukim that end off Ki Liyom Chazda. Then you have Nishmas Kol Chai and you have Yishtabach. And again the bracha, Kelab Melech Gadol Batish Bachos, you have two brachas. So that's the Rashbam's opinion. So that's out of the question. We don't follow that opinion. There was such an opinion, and apparently they printed such Haggadahs in Italy in the 1500s or whatever, but that for sure, that's not in the running today. The only two opinions that are current are Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfar. So Nusach Ashkenaz goes in order, and Nusach Sfar goes backwards and forwards. Nusach Ashkenaz goes in order as follows. You say Hallel, and then you finish Aluch Hashem Kol Maasecha. You finish up until and not including the last line. You don't say Melech Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulav Batish Bechos. You say up until the last line, leave out the last line. Then you say 26 Psukim Kili Olam Chaz. Then you say Nishmas Kol Chai, and then you say Yishtabach, and you conclude with the bracha of Yishtabach. That's Nusach Ashkenaz. And Nusach Sfard is you say Hallel till the last pasuk. Then you say Yehalalucha for later. Then you say the 26 Psukim Kili Olam Chazdai. Then you say Nishmas Kol Chai. You say Yishtabach up until and not including the concluding line. You don't say the Baruch at the end. Then you recite Yehalalucha, which you left out at the end of the Hallel. Say Yehalalucha at the end. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, commentaries on the bottom of the page point out every family should make up their mind whether they're supposed to be saying Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Svart. If you're a Hasidish family or Svartim, so you should say Nusach Svart, okay? So you should check to make sure that everybody has the same Haggadah. Usually, in my home, we use all the old Haggadahs that we got in the mail, say half are like this and half are like that. So the whole, till you get to the fourth cup of wine, everything is come out the same. It doesn't make such a big difference. A pasuk ayin, a pasuk air, everything is the same. When you get to the last pasuk, you get to the last cup of wine, then you have to make up your mind whether you're going to say Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Svart. Everybody should say the same Nusach. If you have three people or more participating in the Seder, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should have On Hashem Hashiano, On Hashem Hashiano should be recited like in Shul, Ba'amira V'aniya. The father of the household, or someone, whatever, the grandfather, whoever, someone should say it on Hashem Hashiano, and the other two should answer. There's a kasha, how come it's sufficient with three? Why don't you need ten? It's a good kasha, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you have three people or more, so you should recite those parts of the halal that would be recited in Shul, Ba'amira, Amira V'aniya, should be recited by the Seder, also Ba'amira V'aniya. The Tanoim had a machlokes bizman shebeis hamigdush hayakayam, the Korban Pesach had to be completed by Chatzos. So they had a machlokes whether this is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, only kedei l'harchik kasodim and aver. What's the difference whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So the Gemara says in the end of Psachim, the difference will be, what about with respect to matzah? If it's a din d'oraisa, then there's a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. So you have to eat the matzah also by chatzos, by midnight. Midnight now is approximately 1 o'clock on daylight saving time. But if you hold that it's only a gzerah d'rabbanan by Korban Pesach, so they only made the gzerah by Korban Pesach, because if by mistake you eat the Korban Pesach after alos al-shachar, it'll be an isa kares. So there's room to make a gzerah, but if you eat the matzah after alos al-shachar, the world won't come to an end. So he ate before davening. There are people who always eat before davening. Lubavitcher always eat before davening. So he said a bracha levatol al achilas matzah. So we assume bracha levatol is only midirabbanim. So that's a big machlokes in Tosfos. How do we pass them? Do we pass them that chatzos is a din d'oraisa by Korban Pesach, therefore it does carry over to matzah? Or chatzos is only a din midirabbanim, and therefore it should not carry over to matzah? So in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend that if whenever it's possible you should try to finish the matzah, the bracha al achilas matzah by chatzos. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that the eating of the Afikoyman is the Ikka Mitzvah Achilas Matzah. We mentioned before the Rosh is of the opinion the Afikoyman is supposed to be Zeichel LePesach, and that's what some said at Zeichel LePesach and Zeichel LeChagigah, so he took his Eisim. But the Rashbam and Tosfos are of the opinion that Afikoyman is not Zeichel LePesach. When you say the Broch in the beginning of the meal, Al Achilas Matzah, you really have in mind not to be Yotze with the Matzah that you eat then. You have in mind to be Yotze with the Matzah in the end of the meal, the afikoyman, that's the ikka mitzvah matzah. So if you're following this opinion, you should try to eat the matzah before chatzos, then you should try to finish the afikoyman before chatzos. The Ramah goes one step further and quotes the Ran on Maseches Megillah, the Ran on the Rif on Maseches Megillah, that not only should one try to see to it that he finishes the afikoyman by chatzos, you should try to see to it that you finish all the abakoyses before chatzos. Echad miyadeya, that you can say after chatzos. And all the other piyutim in the end, that there's no problem, that you can say after chatzos. But one, if it won't hurt people's feelings, you have to tell people, please don't tell long stories, don't tell long gematrios and Rosh Yitevis until Pulim and Droshes. We want to move on. So if you have little children who insist, they have to say over what they learned in school, so that's the main purpose of the CPTS Mitzrayim, that the children should participate. But if you try, if you're going to insult the balabasta, she made so many courses, so it's not right to tell her to cut something out. But you should try to move along the Seder in a reasonable fashion to try to finish all the abakaisis by chatzos. The Mishnah has a din, you're not allowed to eat or drink anything after the afikoyman until after you go to sleep. Okay, that's what we assume. Balamor has a different sheet, everybody has a different sheet, they all these pilpulim, but in the Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say any of these highfalutin pilpulim, just says you're not allowed to eat or drink with mekel on water. Machlokes with mekel on water. But anything other than water, the accepted psak in Shulchan Aruch is that you're not supposed to eat or drink anything. For the first days of Pesach, we do not make an Erev Tavshilim because you have Shabbos before Yom Tov. But the second days of Pesach, even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you do need an Erev Tavshilim because Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos, so people are going to be cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. You have to make sure you make an Erev Tavshilim. It's not proper to rely on the rabbi. The Gemara says the rabbi has a responsibility to his balabatim to make sure that he makes an Erev Tavshilin, he's mezakeh the Erev Tavshilin for all the balabatim who will forget, those who are not knowledgeable, but those who are, a boy who learns in yeshiva is knowledgeable, he knows what an Erev Tavshilin is, so you should make your own Erev Tavshilin for your family. The second night of Pesach in Chutz Loretz, we observe 2 days Yontif, so we have to recite Havdalah because of the fact that it's Mitzvah Shabbos. We have to recite Kiddush because of the fact that is Leil Yom Tov. So we recite what the Gemara calls Yak Nahaz, Yain Kiddush, Ner Havdalah Zman. When you say the Bracha Ner, Bar Mi Ari Ho Eish, so it says in the Gemara, that you have to have an Avuka. What does an avuka mean? So all year long we usually have an Havdalah candle that has a few wicks that all blend in to make one big flame. So strictly speaking, Rebbe Kivega quotes from the Maharil that that's not really necessary, that's only a chumrah. If you have 2 candles that are near each other, even though the 2 flames are separate, they don't blend in together, that's also considered an avuka. So many have the practice, many have the practice that on Leil Yom Tov, when you're saying Havdalah because of the fact that it's Matzoi Shabbos, you take the 2 candles and you blend them in together to make one big flame. So some of the Achrayim say that it's more correct not to do this when it's Yom Tov. When Matzoi Shabbos is on weekday, that is our practice. We hold the 2 flames together to make one big flame. That's more of an avuka. And when it's Yom Tov, Shecholias, but Matzoi Shabbos, so the practice is you don't blend the 2 in together. Why not? So it's usually assumed that the reason is that some of the wax is going to drip down, and the Mishnah and the Gemara says in Beitzah, Hamistapik, Man Hashemesh Ebiner, if you take away some of the wax, so that's a violation of, that may or may not be a violation of Mechaber. So on Leil Sheni of Pesach, you're going to have the 2 candles, so there's a chumrah not to have them blend in together. The first day Yom Tov is Shabbos, so you have to eat Shalashudas. So L'chatchila, the Shulchan Aruch says you should start Shalashudas before, half an hour before Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. And half an hour before that is 3 hours before the end of the day. So you should start your Shalashudas before. But the Evan, the Mishnah Berurah says if a person didn't, why should he? Because the second night of Pesach, he should eat l'tiyov. The second night of Pesach is only with the Rabbanon. It's only on Tav Shein Shel Goli. So if a person didn't begin his Shalashudas earlier, so the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so we'll allow him to eat the Shalashudas even later in the day. He should be careful not to eat too much, in order that he should still be able to eat l'tiyov. Normally, on a normal year, we recite the bracha. Then we say, the should see to it that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. We should have an opportunity. We should eat from the Chagiga Sarva Osar, and we should eat from the Korban Pesach. So we usually say first Min Azvachim, and then Min Apsochim, because that was always the practice. First we eat Chagiga Sarva Osar, in order that the Pesach should be Nechal Al Hasova. So if Erev Pesach is Chaliyas B'Shabbos, then the din is that only Korban Pesach is Decha Shabbos. You don't bring Chagigas HaBarasa. That's a machlokes HaTanoim, whether Chagigas HaBarasa is Derais and it's Decha Shabbos, or it's only the Rabbanon and it's not Decha Shabbos. So the accepted opinion is that Chagigas HaBarasa is only the Rabbanon, so it's not Decha Shabbos. So Taisus quotes somewhere, had a practice that when you have Erev Pesach is on Shabbos and the first day of Pesach is Sunday, or by us, By us, the first day of Pesach is Shabbos, and the second night of Pesach is Sunday. So we treat it like a Sveika de Yoima. Maybe the second day is really the first day of Pesach. Instead of saying on the second night, V'nechol Shamir Azvachim, V'min HaPsachim, that doesn't make sense. You should say V'nechol Shamir HaPsachim, V'min Azvachim, because we won't eat Chagiga Sabrosa prior to the Korban Pesach. We're going to first eat the Korban Pesach, then eat the Chagiga that'll be brought on Yontif itself. So Taisa says that that's not correct. To switch the Nusach when we're having a Seder on Matzoi Shabbos, instead of saying Min Azvachim and Apsachim, to switch to say Min Apsachim and Azvachim, that's not correct, because just because this year Pesach is Matzoi Shabbos, we're talking about next year. We say Kein Hashem Agieinu, next year we should live so long and we should experience Pesach and we should eat Min Azvachim and Apsachim. Just because this year is Matzoi Shabbos doesn't mean that next year is going to be on Matzoi Shabbos. So we have the practice that we say the same Nusach whether it's Matzoi Shabbos or it's not Matzoi Shabbos. We always say the Nusach Min Nechal Sham Min Azvachim and Min Apsachim. When a person eats karpas, so the Tosis quotes from Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim that when we say Bor Pi Adama, we should have in mind to cover the morer. This is because Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim wrote a long piyut that's recited on Shabbos Hagadol, which runs through all of Hilchas Pesach and all the dinim of the Seder. The Oz Haruah has pages and pages of running commentary on this long piyut of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. So Tosis quotes every so often from his piyutim. Tosis quotes Yosef Tuvelim, Rabbi Yosef Bonfi. So they translate it into Hebrew, Tuvelim. So Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim writes that when we say Bar Pi Adam on the Karpas, we should have in mind that this should cover the Moror, because he felt that the Moror is not considered Dorm Habayim Machmas Asuda. Tosis is unhappy with this idea. Tosis thinks that it's a Hesach Hadas. What do you mean? You say Bar Pi Adam over the Karpas, then you don't get to the Moror till an hour later. It's the Halong Hesach Hadas. And Tosis claims it says in the Gemara that it's a Hesach Hadas. Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim says not true. Gemara says a Hesach Hadas on the Shmiras HaYadayim. That's why you have to wash until the Yadayim a second time. Even though you wash the hands for Karpas, Dovash Yitavula B'mashki, wash without a bracha, but you have to wash again before Hamaitzi because of Hesach Hadas on the Shmiras HaYadayim. It's not a Hesach Hadas from eating the food. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Maharam Rutenberg that one should be Machmir in both directions. The Hainu, you should say Bar Pri Adam on the Karpas to have in mind that this should cover the Morah. But you should be careful not to have a kazayas of a karpas, because you're going to have a kazayas that according to Taisus, there's going to be a hesach hadas between the eating of the karpas and the eating of the mora an hour later. So you should really say bar nefashas after you eat the karpas. So that's what they quote in Shulchan Aruch, this chumra of the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg was from the later Balei HaTaisus, known as Hasidei Ashkenaz, who introduced a new strain into Pesach Halacha to try to do things in such a way to be able to all the shittas. So in Shulchan Aruch, every so often they quote such a chumr from the Maharam Rutenberg. Like the second day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes, but they say Shachyanu or not. So the Maharam Rutenberg is the one who introduced you should have a beged chadash or pri chadash. So for sure, your Shachyanu is in place. So too, they quote in around 15 places different chumras from the Maharam Rutenberg to try to satisfy all the shittas. So this is one of them. He thinks that by having in mind when you say Bar Pi Adama to cover the Mar, then make sure you eat less than a kazayah, so you machma in both directions. This theme of the Hasidi Ashkenaz was picked up by the Mishnah Berurah and multiplied 100 times over. He has on every other page in the Shulchan Aruch, he tells you how to do things in such a way that they satisfy all the opinions. This was a strain in Pesach Halacha that was introduced by the Hasidi Ashkenaz, the Mishkenaz Yankev. Writes about this in one of his a long tshuva about the Erev, he writes like this. Others are not so keen about this Midas Chasidus of the Maharam Rutenberg, because the Rambam writes that when you have Karpas, he's supposed to have a Kazayas. So the Hagos Maimoni on the bottom of the page of the Rambam, who was also from the Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg, writes that he thinks that it's a misprint in the Rambam, that the word Kazayas doesn't belong by Karpas, it belongs by Moror. But Karpas does need a kazayas. But in all the editions of the Rambam, all the manuscripts, it does say like that. It does say you need a kazayas. So some people, to satisfy the both opinions, will eat a kazayas of Karpas, and then they'll keep on nibbling on some vegetable or another the whole time, so there clearly won't be any Hesach Hadas. Chareises is a machlekes hatanaim. What role does it play? So some tanaim are of the opinion it's only for medical purposes, that there may or may not be a worm in your maror. Now the worms are, they're kosher worms, are not kosher worms. So this is a kosher worm, but it's unhealthy to eat a worm that's alive. It's going to be crawling around in your stomach. So we want to kill the worm first before we eat the maror. So the purpose of dipping the maror into the charoses is to kill the worm. The other opinion in the Mishnah of Lezer Rab Tzadik, no, charoses is a mitzvah midrabbanon. Kill a worm, that may or may not be a consideration, but it's a mitzvah. What kind of a mitzvah? The different opinions. In the Gemara either says Zechel Tit, Zechel Tapuch, Tachas Tapuch, or Aticha, or the Yerushalmi says Zechel Adam. So that's why we do all three. So the Gemara says you should have, the Charoisa should be very thick, Zechel Tit. And then you should pour in the wine, it should be red wine, Zechel Adam. And then you should, you should make sure that one of the ingredients in the charoisa should be tapuach, so it'll be zechel tapuach. What exactly is a tapuach? So the Gemara seems to imply very clearly, like Tosis writes in the end of Tainus, that tapuach means some kind of a citrus fruit. It doesn't seem to be referring to an apple. So the Gemara says that because you want the charoisa to be Zechel tapuach tzarech lekuhuye. Kuhuye means you should have a very sharp flavor. The sharp flavor is if you squeeze in oranges. You should. Everybody puts in apples, but in addition to the apples, you should chop up some oranges also, or pour in orange juice or something. It should have that flavor of the citrus fruit. Tzarech lekuhuye. The first night of Pesach is Shabbos, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't pour the wine into the charoses to do lisha. On Shabbos, on Yontov, Lisha is permissible if you need the Tzor Chachon Nefesh. On Shabbos, we don't permit Lisha. So you shouldn't. The practice always is you take thick, on a normal Pesach night, you take thick charoses, then you pour in the red wine, and you stir it, and you do a little Lisha. So it says when Yontov is Chali is B'Shabbos, you shouldn't do the Lisha on Leil Shabbos. Some have a practice that they use potatoes for karpas. Some have a practice to use bananas for karpas, whatever, anything that's bar pri adama. So the Magen Avraham says that it's not really correct, that the Mishnah seems to say that you need yirokas. Yirokas mean green vegetables. True, if all you're worried about is what Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim says, that you should have an opportunity to say bar pri adama to cover the karpas, then you can say bar pri adama and bananas also. But more correct, the Magen Avraham says, is to have a green vegetable. Okay. The second night of Pesach, we count Svira, the two minhagim, nechsidim, and many Sfardim have a minig api kabbalah to count the Svira Saima after the Seder. And Ashkenazim, non-chasidim, Ashkenazim, misnagdim, don't follow this Kabbalah issue. So they insist on counting Svira Saima before you eat the meal. You're not supposed to eat a meal before you count Svira Saima. So in You shouldn't necessarily follow your Haggadah. You should follow whatever your family practice is, whether you say Svir Sami before or after the meal. Okay, a good Yontov, everybody.